You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Dan Clayton from Salt City Hoops and former Spanish radio analyst for the Utah Jazz. How are you doing today, Dan?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining us. There's plenty of Jazz to talk about, and I know
always.
The fans, yeah, always. With the NBA this day and age, even in the off season, there's just always something to talk about.
Yeah. And
especially as of late, you know, ever since the Rudy Gobert injury came down, the Jazz are 2-2. And, you know, I've talked to some people, they kind of expected maybe 500, be able to hold serve while Rudy is recovering from the injury. I'm wondering how you feel the Jazz have done since Gobert's taken a sideline seat.
Well, they've missed a step for sure. I think if you look at the last week of games since the Rudy injury announcement, they're 2-2. And that's a stretch where you probably could have done better if you were hoping to capitalize on this home heavy stretch and get a little bit above 500. Instead, I think what the Jazz will do is play jump rope a bit with the 500 line between now and whenever in mid to late January Gobert happens to return. You know, it's costing them. I mean, look, you know, Trey Lyles is getting a bunch of those minutes and he's, you know, not really ready yet. Trevor Booker is getting a bunch of those minutes, and even though fans love him because he's an energy guy, energy doesn't always mean good play. Energy doesn't even always mean defense. I mean, you know, there are some things that Trevor doesn't do well, and there are things that he's currently doing a lot less well than he did last season. So, you know, it'll be a struggle. It'll be a slog. I think it'll cost them some games over the course of the next month. And instead of using this stretch where, you know, between Thanksgiving and January 4th, the Jazz have 14 of these 19 games at home. I expected them to really jump forward in the Western Conference picture. Instead, I think they'll kind of bob there around 500, and you know, that's the cost when you lose one of your three best players to injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You know, you lose a key player to injury, you're going to pay consequences. I mean, you mentioned Trey Lyles is getting some decent amount of playing time right now, but he's not quite ready. How far from being there is he to being ready to hold a spot in the rotation, at least, if not a starter?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with rookies, or I guess young players, but it's particularly true of rookies who are very much still learning to play the game at an NBA pace, and you know, with nine other guys around them who are really smart and know basketball situations and can react, you know, second nature. So I think what tends to happen with rookies, and this has been true of a lot of recent Jazz rookies, is that you do see little moments, but it just takes a while to put those together into like a solid cohesive game, let alone then to start stringing good games together. I mean, you know, like last night, for example, Trey Lyles had some good moments. You know, he had a couple of in-rhythm jumpers that looked really good. He had a couple of really nice passes when he reacted to where the third helper was coming from in a pick and roll. So he does things like that that show you that he has the basketball IQ that's there. But it's, you know, it's just, it's baptism by fire. It's a really rough environment to learn in for any 19-year-old and even one that appears to have the basketball smarts that Lyles has.
Yeah, I mean, you based it on other Jazz rookies. I mean, what kind of timeline do you think we're talking about when you compare him to other high Jazz draft picks to when Lyles can actually contribute on a regular basis?
Well, not to punt on the question, and I'll come back to your specific question, but I think, you know, if you just back out and look at just rookies in general, very few rookies actually have a net positive impact on their teams in year one. So, I mean, some do, but a very small minority do. So I think if you look at Lyles specifically, I don't think it'll be that long before we see him start to put together, you know, a good 8 or 10 minute run, a good quarter, a good half. But right now he's sort of in that frame of mind where like he has a good play, and then he has a couple of plays where he looks a step slow and a little bit behind what the offense is doing. And then he has two more good plays, and then he has plays where he gets blown by on defense. And that's just the order of the day. We shouldn't panic about that. That's part of what this process is about, and part of why I think they're making a point of giving him minutes, even though there are probably other people who on an absolute basis could impact the team more. So timeline, I mean, I don't think we're far off from seeing him just look less lost in overall terms, but if we're expecting him to have a major positive impact on the Jazz's win total this year, that's probably unrealistic at this stage.
Yeah, no, and by no means are those my expectations. I guess I'm more thinking of, do you think it's going to be like, you know, his sophomore year he'll have that jump? Or are we looking at maybe, you know, 3 years in the league and then he's really going to be a contributing player to the Utah Jazz, assuming he's still on the roster?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Like, that's the fun part of having a team full of young players, is that some of them pan out, some of them don't. Some of them pan out more quickly. In Lyle's case, you know, he's got a couple of really talented bigs in front of him. So right off the bat, you know that he's a little bit limited. If everybody's healthy, he's a little bit limited in terms of the amount of minutes he can play and the amount of touches he's going to get. But I do think, I mean, my guess would be, given that Trevor Booker comes off the books this coming summer, my guess would be that the Jazz front office probably has Trey Lyles penciled in to be, you know, a more substantive contributor as early as next season. And whether or not he's, you know, ready to make a major impact in those minutes next year is part of the adventure. I mean, it's part of why, you know, we love following these things.
Yeah,
I punted again.
Exactly right. Yeah, hey, punt as much as you want. we'll see how many times I can get you to punt, and I'm going to consider it a good football win for me then. But, you know, with the Jazz being 2-2 over the stretch without Gobert, I mean, just out of your gut feel, I mean, I don't know how much stat analysis can be pulled out of four games. What do you feel is the best lineup the Jazz can throw at teams right now without Gobert playing?
So even before the Gobert injury, I had written at Salt City Hoops about how I felt like the Jazz should be using the triple wing not just as a way to stretch out their point guard options, but that I felt like they should be using it to play small ball more. I felt like they should be using lineups where it was a point guard, then three wings with Favors or Gobert, or even, you know, a pseudo point guard. So really you've got four wings plus Rudy/Favors. When Rudy went down, I felt like that exacerbated the need to look into that as an option. You can't do it every night. You can't do it against teams with traditional bigs, or you can, but then you have to live with what that could mean on the other end of the floor. But I think that's going to be, you're right, it's too early to really draw this conclusion much based on numbers, but I think my early read from just a basketball gut perspective is that that's going to be a key to Utah staying above water in this stretch, largely because they're just not getting what they got last year from Trevor Booker. If Trevor Booker was playing, you know, 2014-15 Trevor Booker is a pretty good third big and would be an excellent fourth big. If you think about someone with an elite offensive rebounding percentage, 35% on threes, although he didn't take a lot of threes, you know, the energy plays, even though that didn't always equate to good defense. I mean, like, if you had that version of Trevor Booker all the time, that's a good rotation big. The Jazz aren't getting that from Booker right now. So I do think that there are times where they need to put, you know, Hood, Hayward, and Burks, or Ingles, Hayward, and Hood, or, you know, some combination out there with one of the bigs and see what they can do that way. I'd like to see more of that at least.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, as a fan, and my limited basketball analysis, I'm not going to say I'm any kind of pro, as much as it might be my favorite sport. I would like to see the Jazz go to that more often as well. Just keep those three forwards out there, or small forwards, and, you know, move the ball.
Yeah, sure. I mean, at least situationally, right? Like, The Jazz,
oh, yeah,
don't,
of course.
They don't have to make that the starting lineup. They don't have to do it for 30 minutes a night. But I think that would help even out some of the, you know, the one of the sad truths this year is that behind Favors and Rudy, the big man play just hasn't been where we all expected.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not there. It's really, it just hasn't been there. Well, I mean, continuing on, you know, living without Gobert, you know, the next five games, we've got two games with the Thunder, the Spurs, you got the Pelicans, and then Denver. How do you think the Jazz are going to do in that, what I would say is a tough stretch of games?
Yeah, I was just writing about that for the Salt City 7, which will drop at some point today. I mean, you know, the Oklahoma City games, that's a home and home set. And, you know, it's really hard to sweep a home and home. So, like, logic tells you that, hey, maybe the Jazz have a chance to get one of those two, except that we've seen the Thunder and Jazz face to face twice already, once in the preseason, once in the regular season. And they just appeared to be, you know, worlds apart in terms of the level that they're playing at. I know that they're closer in terms of some predictive indicators, like, you know, point differential and adjusted point differential. They're not that far apart, but we've seen them share 94 feet by 50 feet together, and the Thunder just outclassed the Jazz. So I honestly think that if the Jazz get one of those, they're playing with house money. I feel the same way about, you know, playing the Spurs in San Antonio, where the Jazz have not won since literally Carlos Boozer was in Utah. So, you know, probably rough the next three, to be honest with you. And that's why I was hoping that these last 7 days, would have been a little bit better than 2-2. New Orleans and Denver, obviously the Jazz will be favored in those two games. They should win those two games, or, you know, if they don't win those two games, then now you've got to go get a win somewhere that you weren't expected to get. But I think if you put a gun to my head, I'm saying 2-3 over that stretch is about what we would expect, you know, from a record and a predictive standpoint.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, right now, when we're talking about the Jazz, right now they're in seventh in the West, which would put them in the playoffs. I know it's extremely early to talk this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the battle for the final spot in the West is probably going to be actually a battle for, you know, 6, 7, and 8, most likely, which is probably, I mean, I have it as a 5-6 team battle, adding Houston, Phoenix, Minnesota, maybe Portland and Dallas. I mean, who you think are the contenders for those bottom three spots in the West?
It's a really good question. In fact, I think there's even some questions in terms of exactly where the tiers break out. Again, there are certain measures that that historically have performed better to predict future performance. And one of those is adjusted point diff. And by that measure, you would look at the Clippers and say, well, hey, maybe they're not even really a tier above, you know, the Jazz, the Mavs, the Suns. They probably are, and that's probably where they'll shake out, just because when you have two players that are that good, you know, that covers up a lot of stuff and helps you through a lot of fourth quarters that might otherwise be uncomfortable. So I'd say, you know, Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, you know, they're up there in an echelon that the Jazz aren't touching. Clippers are probably on the borderline of that. You know, Clippers are probably a 4 seed at this rate. And to be honest with you, beyond that, and this isn't just homerism, Grant, I promise, but I really do think that the Jazz are, if they can get Rudy back relatively quickly, and if the rest of their key players, by key players I mean like their top three or four guys, can stay healthy, I really do think the Jazz are as good as anybody in that group. I think – Here's the one that I have a hard time with. It's Houston, because, you know, I think they're back in possession of a playoff spot as of today. Like, you know, they're in the top 8 seeds as of today.
They are 8th as of today.
Okay. And they obviously have you know, two all-NBA caliber players, or at least two guys that have been all-NBA caliber recently. So, like, they're a good bet, but predictive math doesn't like them at all. And if you watch them and see the level of effort they're capable of giving or not giving on a particular night, like, they're the mystery. I think they're the X factor that will change the West. I think they get in. A lot of stat heads disagree because they just say, look, you can't have a schedule adjusted point differential of -5.25 at the 20 game mark and make the playoffs. And I get that, like, historically that argument adds up, but I think they'll get in. And then that means that you have, out of Dallas, Phoenix, and Memphis, you know, someone goes home from that group. And that's a little hard to imagine based on how people have played thus far. But I do think the Jazz, I mean, if nothing else crazy happens, I do think the Jazz are in. And I actually think that the Jazz, I've been saying really for a month now, I've been saying go ahead and pencil the Jazz into a 5-7 seed. I don't even think the Jazz are, like, in a position where they're going to have to sneak into that last spot unless Gordon gets hurt or Derek gets hurt or Rudy misses a bunch of time. I don't know how that you feel is, about that.
Well, Jazz fans won't like me. To start the season, I didn't think the Jazz were going to make the playoffs at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be, you know, 9-10 team, the 9th or 10th team. I just didn't see them getting into the playoffs. But, you know, some teams have, I mean, Houston being as bad as they've been has been surprising. There's just been some surprises, I guess, that I wasn't expecting personally that have now made it look like the Jazz are one of those, you know, right below the upper echelon of the West type teams, if that makes sense. So it's intriguing. And so much of this does come down to injuries, like you mentioned. I mean, one key guy goes down and Gobert's gone down. He's a key guy. And, you know, now the Jazz have, you know, they lost to the Magic, for an example, which is a game I would not expect them to lose, with or without Rudy Gobert, actually. But, you know, you just add on to that. And now it's a question of what's going to happen while Rudy's gone that will keep them in that playoff hunt. And then heaven forbid they lose someone else during this stretch. I mean, it could become quite the nightmare of a season if someone else were to go down with a long-term injury.
Yeah, I mean, they're already down two starters, right? I mean, Exum wasn't a huge net positive last year either, if you go back to my previous point about rookies, but he was a defensive stalwart. He was important. He made a difference for the Jazz. So they're down Exum and they're down Gobert for, you know, whatever it's going to be. The average for this type of injury is about 22 games, which equates to like a month and a half. I mean, you just can't really afford much more than that, and particularly in your core. And for me, the Jazz core is really all about Gobert, Favors, and Hayward. So those are the three that I think you need to keep as healthy as possible if you're really going to, you know, if you're going to make noise, if you're going to not be that team that has to battle for the right to get swept by Golden State.
Yeah, and I have no interest in being the team that gets swept by Golden State in the first round. So I think, because to be honest with you, I mean, I think, you know, the Spurs, OKC, Golden State, like you've mentioned, those are all teams that, you know, I'd be horrified of playing in the playoffs. But, you know, getting a 5 seed and potentially playing the Clippers, I mean, heck, that would be a fun series to watch, and two, I would have no reason to believe the Jazz couldn't find a way to win that series either.
Yeah, or at least get them on the ropes and make it interesting. And I think the stage that the Jazz are at, like, that would be the fun part of getting into the playoffs. It's not necessarily if they would advance or how far they'd go. It's the fact that, like, this is the year that you get to start making Gordon Hayward a name around the NBA. And we're casual. Because, I mean, you know, it's the playoffs, so you just get more eyeballs. And I guess that's the one – that's the one positive if the Jazz wound up staring across at Golden State in the matchups is, you know, at least at that point, you'd have a whole lot of people watching you.
All right, Dan, we got cut off there for a second. We were talking about the exposure that would even come from a Golden State matchup in the playoffs, and you were in the middle of a thought. Well, can you continue with that?
Yeah, well, Golden State or anybody, although there's just a lot of fan interest in Golden State, but I just think one of the fun byproducts of being a part of the playoffs this year, I wouldn't expect the Jazz to be super competitive. I mean, competitive, I guess, is a relative term, but I wouldn't expect them to go very far, but it would be fun to have, even casual NBA fans talking about Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward and Quinn Snyder, and really sort of get that recognition and start to credential the Jazz as a relevant team on a national level.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I hope it all happens. I remember, the last time I felt like the Jazz had a team like this that kind of was like you didn't know exactly what to expect was the year they started out the season like 11-0 and I believe went to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, it was just an awesome season where they kind of just exploded into the landscape. Now, they did it early on in the season with Nemanja Kerr hitting game winners and all kinds of crazy stuff happening in the beginning of the season. But I feel like the Jazz, once healthy and getting to the playoffs, later in the season could really make a splash and really make some headway as far as being considered a team that everyone else in the West needs to be concerned about. So it'll be really fun to watch. It's been fun the last couple of years. We're watching the young guys develop, watching the Jazz's plan of developing this team come to fruition. And there's still plenty of youth on this team to go into the future. So it's a pretty exciting time to be a Jazz fan, wouldn't you say?
I agree. It should be fun. It'll be great from an exposure standpoint if they get there, when they get there. I expect them to do it at this stage. And also, just to learn playoff basketball. Like nobody – this is a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true – like, nobody just shows up their first year and does it, right? Like, nobody – like, you almost have to lose to learn how to win in the playoffs. And so I think it's an important step for Utah's young guys to go get exposed to this and get some playoff reps so that the 2017 Jazz and 2018 Jazz and 2019 Jazz can actually expect to not just go and get a postseason participation trophy, but really hopefully at that stage start to think about making some noise.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, every time someone says participation trophy, I think of that Kia commercial where the guy writes champs on his kid's trophy. But, it's been good catching up with you, Dan, on some Jazz thoughts. It's the Torn by Sports lunch break, so I got to ask this. I ask all my guests. Wondering what your favorite spot is for lunch in Salt Lake City.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this, and it's going to sound a little unsophisticated compared to some of the answers you probably get. The place I always go when I'm back in Salt Lake, visiting or, in town for a wedding or whatever, I'm in Salt Lake a couple or three times a year since I moved. And the place that I always make sure I go back to is Cafe Rio. And it's not because it's like the most sophisticated palate in the universe. It's just that I live in New York City. I have access to pretty much any type of cuisine I want on a day-to-day basis, but nobody does stuff exactly the way Cafe Rio does it. So it's like the one thing that I can't replicate by, opening up Yelp in New York City and having it guide me to places. So that's probably like the can't miss stop of most of my Salt Lake City trips. There are better places. Don't get me wrong. There are better places, but it's uniquely Utah, kind of like Crown Burger, kind of like, I was going to say Red Iguana, Blue Iguana, but even those, like I can find a pretty decent Red Iguana facsimile in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. I can't find a Cafe Rio in Brooklyn or in Manhattan. So that's why Cafe Rio is probably going to have to be my answer here.
Yeah, no, and there's nothing wrong with the answer. It just sounds like they need to get you on the franchise list to open up one in New York. That's all I heard right there.
I'll do it. I don't think they franchise. I don't think that's their model. But if they ever decide to change their mind, I know a guy who would love to bring Cafe Rio to the five boroughs.
Yeah. That'd be actually pretty impressive if they did that. But all right, Dan, it's fun talking to you. We'll catch up again as Jazz season continues to roll along through this 82-game season, and hopefully we'll even be able to catch up during playoff time too. So,
all right.
It was good talking to you.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.